Welcome to The Word for Today. The Word for Today is a continuous study of the Bible taught by Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently teaching from the Old Testament. And for those of you following along in your Bibles, we'll be continuing today in Isaiah chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, as we continue with an in-depth message entitled The Restoration of the Kingdom, Part 1. Now with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
In chapter 10, Isaiah has prophesied that though Assyria is now strong and conquering the world, Assyria is to be cut down by God. And like a great tree, God is just going to chop her down and leave but stumps. And so there will be just this field of stumps remaining of Assyria. And that Assyria will really not rise again. Now in contrast with those stumps that God has cut that was once Assyria, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his stump, or out of his roots. Now Jesse was the father of David, and God established the Davidic kingdom. And when Saul was rejected by God as king over Israel, Samuel was instructed to go to the house of Jesse and there to anoint one of his sons, that son being David. And David began the dynasty or the kingly line from David, who at the death of Solomon, Rehoboam, the son of David, experienced the division of Israel to the northern and southern kingdoms, and Rehoboam became king over Judah, and the Davidic line continued as kings over Judah. However, the fact that God cut down the Assyrians to where they were just but stumps, so the Davidic kingdom was to be cut down and to become insignificant. And other prophets speak about the line of David becoming insignificant in Israel. So there would come a time when the descendants of David would not have that prominent place in Israel as kings. But out of the stump of Jesse, or out of the roots of Jesse, there would come a branch. And thus the prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, the branch out of the root of Jesse. When Jesus was born, he was born of the Virgin Mary, prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 being fulfilled. And also the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This child, we are now told, will be a branch out of the stump of Jesse. Mary was, according to Luke's gospel, a descendant of David. And thus, from the tribe of Jesse, the tribe that had been cut down, the Davidic line was no longer prominent but very insignificant, and yet arising out of it the righteous branch, Jesus. The branch is the Hebrew word netzer, and it is believed that this is what Matthew was referring to when he said that Jesus would be known as a Nazarene, Netzer. He is that righteous branch out of the root of Jesse. So Jesus was born at a time when the family of Jesse, the family of David were insignificant. Joseph was a direct descendant also of David through the kingly line. And as we pointed out this morning, Matthew gives to you the genealogy of Joseph. And as you see the genealogy of Joseph, you realize that it does come down through the kings of Judah. And coming down through the kings of Judah, the name Jechonias becomes interesting and prominent. Jeremiah the prophet was prophesying during the days of the reign of Jechonias. Jechonias was an extremely wicked king. And because of his wickedness, God swore that there would not be any of the seed of Jechonias sitting on the throne of David. And thus Joseph, being a descendant of Jechonias, it would, though he was of the kingly line and had a rightful claim to the throne of Israel as a descendant of David, yet because he came from the line of Jechonias, there was no descendant of Jechonias that could sit upon the throne according to the oath that God made through Jeremiah. And thus, Jesus was not born of Joseph. Had he been born of Joseph, he could not claim the throne of Israel. But coming from David through another line, he then has the rightful claim to the throne. And thus the genealogy of Luke, the genealogy of Mary, coming back to David. Now, as Paul is beginning his book to the Romans, he points out to them that Jesus was the son of David according to the flesh. And this was a necessary thing for him to claim to be the Messiah. Because we do know that the Messiah had to come from Abraham and had to come from David. When Abraham was challenged by God to go out and look at the stars, see if you can number them. And the Lord said, "And so shall thy seed be." And the Lord promised to Abraham that from his seed the Messiah would come. As Paul points out in Galatians, he said seed, singular as unto one, not plural as unto many, for that seed of Abraham to whom the promise was made was Jesus Christ. So he had to be a descendant of Abraham, but then the Lord later narrowed it down to David, and he would be a descendant of David. It happened at an interesting time when David was wanting to build a house for God. And he was informed by the Lord through Nathan the prophet that he could not build a house for God, but that God would build his house. And there would never cease to be one from his seed who would sit upon the throne. David understood this as to mean that the Messiah was going to come, the eternal king was to come through his seed. And thus David went before the Lord and rejoiced over the fact that the Messiah would come through his seed. So here we have the prophecy picking up on the thought that from Jesse, though the family had become insignificant, out of that root there would rise the righteous branch. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And then we are given characteristics of that Spirit that would be manifested. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, in the book of Revelation, as there is a reference to the Spirit of God, it is referred to as the seven spirits. And many of the commentators refer back to this passage, the sevenfold or the complete working of the Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ. As the scripture said, God would not give him the Spirit by measure. The fullness of the Spirit rested upon Jesus. And so that righteous branch coming in the power of the Spirit to establish a reign. And we read concerning his reign, that the Lord would make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now, the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ and the establishing of the kingdom of God upon the earth is that we might live upon the earth under the righteous reign of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus encouraged his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The prayer acknowledges the fact that the Lord's will is not being done on the earth today. The earth is in rebellion against God. The earth is under the power of darkness and is really under the control of Satan. The Bible says that the prince or the god of this world has blinded the people's eyes that they should not believe the truth. Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. And so we are living in a world that is in rebellion against God, and thus you do not see God's intent as you look around the world today. You do not see what God intended when he created the earth. As you look at man, you do not see God's intention, because you see man who has fallen because of sin. You see an earth that is cursed as the result of sin. And thus you do not see the world God created nor man as God intended him to be. If you want to see man as God intended him to be, you have to look at Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the perfect man. He is man as God wanted man to be. And so by looking at him, you can find the divine intention for you. He is our example that we should follow in his steps. And thus we see God's ideal and God's intention for man in Jesus Christ, who lived in perfect harmony with God, who lived in fellowship with the Father. And you can see there what God desires for your life and for mine. We will not see the world as God intended until Jesus comes back and he establishes his kingdom. And when God's will is done here on earth, even as it is done in heaven, then you will see God's intention again for the earth. You'll see the earth restored and renewed. And you'll see the earth that God intended and God planned. Now, we'll get a little bit of a glimpse of it tonight, but as we move through the book of Isaiah, he will give us more and more of the complete picture of the earth as it will be when once restored through the reign of Jesus Christ. And you'll see the earth as God intended and as God planned it to be, and man living on the earth in harmony with God as God intended that it should be. So that day is coming, and I believe that that day is not far off. I believe that man is just about at the end of the tether. I think it's almost over. It's interesting. Now, next week in our study, we go into chapter 13 of Isaiah, and in chapter 14. But in the 13th chapter, he addresses the 13th chapter to Babylon, or to modern-day Iraq. And the things that he tells us that are going to happen to Babylon, the nations of the world gathering together against it and destroying it, could very well be what we see happening right at this present moment. It is very possible before we get to our lesson next week that we'll see it more clearly. Because that whole area could explode at any time. And as someone said, prophecy is always much clearer after it has happened. You know, before it happens, we speculate a lot, but after it's come to pass, then we can look and we can then see how it fits so perfectly. A lot of times in our speculation, we miss. But as we look back and see it fulfilled, we see how perfectly it was fulfilled. So you're going to have an interesting time of study this next week as you get into the 13th chapter and you read of Iraq or Babylon and its destruction by this confederation of nations that God will gather together against it. You'll find it very interesting. So here is the prophecy of his reign. It will be a righteous reign. His judgment will be righteous and true, because it will be not according to what people witness, but just according to what he knows. He will not judge by eyes, by what he sees, or by what he hears. He will judge by what he knows to be the actual motives of a person's heart. And in that day, the judgment will be in righteousness as God judges man according to that which is in his heart. And the Lord knows what's in your heart. The Lord knows the thoughts and the intents. And that's what man will be judged by. So with righteousness, he will judge the poor, and he will reprove with equity the meek of the earth. The judgment of the Lord will be fair, completely fair and equitable. The poor and the meek of the earth will receive the same righteous judgment as do the wealthy or the rich. There will be no favoritism, and it'll be a righteous judgment. And then he will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the, and that is the earthly minded. It's the equivalent to the wicked in the next phrase. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. When they come before him for judgment, his judgment will be decisive, and it will be just the word, his word will stand. It will be established. You won't be able to appeal. You won't be able to say, well, that's not fair. I want to appeal to higher. There's no higher court. And so there is, and he will judge. He will use the word of his mouth to speak the judgment, and to the wicked he will slay with the word of his mouth. Now, in turning to Revelation chapter 19, we read that when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, beginning with verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, there was a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. This is the coming again of Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. He's preparing to come down to the earth, which at this present moment is wrapped in the battle of Armageddon, and man is in the throes of destroying himself. But he comes in, his name is Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head there were many crowns. And he had a name that was written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture that was dipped in blood, and his name is called the word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. They were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We're told that that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith. And so that armies that were with him are you, and they are me. We are there with him in heaven, ready now to come back to the earth, that he might establish his kingdom upon the earth.
Pastor Chuck Smith will return with a few closing comments. But first, I'd like to remind you that today's message is available in its unedited form on cassette or CD. Simply write or call and ask for ordering details on tape or CD number C3247. Again, that's tape or CD number C3247. As we come to a close in today's program, we'd like to introduce a brand new book written by Pastor Chuck Smith, entitled Six Vital Questions of Life. Once again, Pastor Chuck has helped us to understand the Scriptures with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In his new book, Pastor Chuck considers six life-changing questions asked by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, and then expounds upon the biblical answers that can revolutionize your Christian walk with God. After discovering this revelation, the change was so profound in Pastor Chuck's own life, he says it was almost like a second conversion, putting him in the winner's circle. So if you have any questions concerning your relationship with God, the book Six Vital Questions of Life by Pastor Chuck will reassure and reinforce God's special plan and purpose for your life. To order Pastor Chuck's new book, Six Vital Questions of Life, for yourself or for a friend, you can call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. Or write to us at P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-272-9673. And for those of you that would like to visit our website, you can do so at www.twft.com. Or if you would like to email us, you can do so at info@twft.com. Well, coming up next time on The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck will be continuing his fascinating study through the book of Isaiah. That's coming up next time on The Word for Today. And now with our closing prayer, here's Pastor Chuck.
Father, we thank you tonight for your record that you have left for us, for our instruction. And Lord, we do not want it to be said by you that we are vessels in which there is no pleasure. But we want our lives, Lord, to be pleasing to you. And so help us, Lord, to do those things always that are pleasing in your sight. And may that be the criteria by which we judge our activities, whether or not it is pleasing unto you. And may we be conscious, Lord, of you, and sensitive that we might do those things always that you desire, that you want. Things that will please you and bring glory to you. And so may we live our lives, Lord, not for our glory, but for your glory. And as David, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name bring glory and praise. And unto Jesus Christ our Lord be the glory, both now and forever. Thank you.
This program is sponsored by The Word for Today, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.